Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. This is the Dr. Denise Show. This is the Creative Mind series, and I am so honored and excited to have Charles Maddox back. Charles, how are you?
I am amazing, Denise. How are you?
Good. Oh, my goodness. I have to tell you, I have been liking all the stuff you're up to. I watch you. It's like eyes on you, Charles. So it's been since fall, since you and I have done a show. Can you give a bit of an update to everyone as to what you're up to? There's so much.
Yeah, thanks so much. And once again, thanks for having me. Well, right now I'm actually currently producing a television series, a two-part series called Our Body is Thy Temple, which is sponsored by Dexcom, the manufacturers of the CGM, continued glucose monitoring device. And a great device to, for those who are dealing with type 1, type 2 diabetes. And this show is kind of focusing on type 2 diabetes. So we're going all across the country to explore the state of health in not only the Black community, but also in the Black church, and the role that the Black church could actually play in the health of those who are living with type 2 diabetes and other conditions, such as, you know, hypertension, cholesterol, obesity, things like that. So we've been shooting and interviewing a ton of pastors and experts and doctors and just beautiful Black professionals in healthcare, and hoping to really tell some stories and create something that'll make an impact.
Well, I just want to say thank you, because I'm hearing this, what you're doing, but the window into your soul, and what I'm hoping that more media of every type, documentaries, shows, podcasts, that we could have things where people really get something out of it. So there can be entertainment and education. So I just want to thank you, because your journey, I feel really fortunate. You and I met about 2 years ago now, and I was so impressed with your series that you did, Reversed. Mm-hmm. Can you let everyone know a little bit about that and where they can watch that amazing series?
Yeah, I did two seasons of Reverse. And Reverse is basically a show where the first season we went to Jamaica. This last season it's airing right now on Cox, actually. We went to Costa Rica. And basically what we're doing is taking people with diabetes. Once again, that's my thing. And it's my thing because it's such a devastating condition. Over 40 million people have it in America, and it takes more lives than AIDS and cancer combined. And it's the number one leading cause of everything from blindness to amputation to, you name it, dialysis, eye issues. And so we go into a beautiful home and bring in some amazing experts in health and from mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, and reverse the health of these amazing guests. And we've had some tremendous results. People have literally, some people have lost over 70 pounds and come off of the insulin pump after being on it for 13 years, and have a new look, outlook on life, if that's the right word.
Well, and for those of, I know your story, but can you give us a window into the soul of what inspired you to do this amazing mindful pivot in the way you're producing all of your content?
It's probably based on just me overall as a human being, and raised up in a loving spiritual household, and realizing that that we had to put a higher power, or God, first. And I think my mission from very early on was that it was to leave an impact, try to make a change in the world in some form of fashion. And, of course, when I was young, I was into movies and music and started many TV shows and nominated for awards and things like that. And so it was always my passion. I didn't know what it was until I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes about 12 years ago. So that's really been my passion. And it's taken me literally around the world with cookbooks and children's books and sauces and spice lines and you know, all these amazing TV shows from CNN to Dr. Oz to Dr. Denise show, you know?
That's sweet. Thank you. I am honored to know you because I believe, you know, the heart is everything, our heart-centered energy. Mm. And some people say God, some people say universe, but you can tell when someone's light shines bright and they want to give that gift in any way they can. I like to say ascend through the medium you choose. And something that you are, I consider, there's language has such power, you know, the power of prayer, the power of intention. And one thing I love about all the series that you're doing is you're really all about love of all kind, all race, all gender, all sexuality. I mean, you are hitting every mark. And I feel really fortunate. I know that you and I have intentions to do work together. We have with some shows here. Mm-hmm. Just want to congratulate you on your path because you have had options to do many different paths. And maybe that's a great window into why we wanted to get together tonight, because we just all were a little shocked about something that recently happened. You know, do you want to kind of speak on that?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about what had taken place at the Oscars with Will Smith and Jada Pinkett and Chris Rock, you know, and I think the world is kind of, you know, looking at this and taken aback. And, I'm kind of a private guy, even though I'm a television, a personality and so on and so forth. But, you know, I think, you know, my take on it obviously is going to probably be, everybody's going to have their own take on it. But, you know, I think that, you know, me being, even though I'm a personality, I'm a very private person. I mean, my Instagram is private, you know, I mean, I think my Facebook, you know, you have to, you know, kind of, I have to add you and so on and so forth. So, you know, I've got my reasons for that. So I think we were going to kind of talk about the Hollywood climate and where we're at with
incidents,
you know?
Yeah, I think so. One of the intentional things I wanted to do, you know, the human mind and the way media, film, music, everything, we're all like, it's almost like this, we're all voyeurs. Mm-hmm. And the way we're trained is to almost look at what's going wrong instead of what's going right. Mm-hmm. And the whole cancel culture. And so you and I have a lot to unpack here.
Yeah.
Because to me, what happened on the Oscars, if you took a window into your life or my life, and we did a slice, a little camera shot of a day that you made a mistake. And by the way, we're going to go back into the Oscars in a minute. This is a separate discussion. Mm-hmm. This is how powerful when you have one moment of time, one tweet, one email, one Snapchat, one this. And if you only judge someone based on that situation and you don't look at all the variables around it and have an elevated discussion, I think that's when we're all missing out on like what the experience or the lesson is to be for all of us. Cause none of us are perfect.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think in this particular case, it's been a storm of brewing. And I'll say this, I'm hurt and saddened for Chris Rock. Because Chris Rock came up in a time, Denise, where you had to work hard. You know, you had to really, to get where he's been and the bumps and the ups, the downs, the, you know, it was a very different time period. And Chris Rock has paved the way. I mean, he's an icon. He's a legend. He paved the way from TV shows to movies. He gave people jobs that you know were down on their luck and needed to work, and the biggest thing is he's one of the good guys. He's a good guy, you know. He's a funny guy, and at times, you know, you may not like some of his, you know, offbeat comedy, but he doesn't. I can't say he comes at people in a way where it's such raunch or such, you know, the hate filled or anything like that. It that's not him. And if you see him do an interview, if you see him talk, he's a really nice guy who's a really intelligent person who's a good person. And
so I just want to, when you're saying all this, I can hear, you know, this, the power of our voice and our frequency and our heart energy, the level of respect and reverence you have in discussing Chris Rock. I just want to pause and say, raise a glass to Chris Rock's ability to, in that moment of time, handle himself the way he did and the way he's handling himself afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that, and that shows the type of person that he is, you know, that really does. And once again, you know, this is a 57 year old man or something like that, 57 years old and or 56 years old. And, you know, he's a good guy. And also it seems he knows them pretty well. It's not like this is the first time you've ever seen them, or there's tons of pictures of them hanging out and at, I'm sure at events. I mean, this is Hollywood. You know each other. Chris Rock is at the top of the game. Of course they have to know each other. Of course they have to have hung out at different events, and who knows, maybe even at each other's house. Will had to feel comfortable to disrespect Chris Rock the way he did. You know, it was almost like he was, you know, hitting a friend of his, you know, because I doubt he would have done that to just, you know, some stranger who didn't know him, who he didn't know at all. And the fact of the matter, if you look at Will's actions in this, not only did he, and I don't know if the slap was fake, something happened, I don't know, but if it wasn't fake, the audacity of Will Smith to think that he could walk up in front of legends and moguls and some of the biggest people in the world and tens of millions across the world watching, and he had the balls to be able to walk up and slap another black man on stage, then walk off and yell and curse in front of all of these people like it was nothing, then get up there and give a speech about love, and then crying, and then at the after parties dancing and getting jiggy with it. I mean, this his audacity. I'm not a fan of Will or Jada, and I haven't been for many years. I do like Will as an actor in certain things. Jada has gone off on the deep end, and Will has followed suit. They have lost touch of themselves. They think that they are celebrities and stars, and you know, there's a difference between feeling good about yourself and being like Kanye West, where you keep mentioning that you're a superstar.
Sorry for laughing. That was a nervous laughter. And I also, everyone, I'm all about being in the moment of now. And I think it's important that we know our own neuro style. So first of all, I want to thank you that I know you well enough that when I sent you the Jim Carrey interview and article this morning, and then you responded to me and I said, hey, Charles, what if we can just grab, you know, let's do it. Let's just be fresh. I haven't even spoken to you yet. This is my first time. Yeah. And I just want to thank you, because that means you have trust. Yeah. And I am holding space in you discussing this. And, you know, I call it that we have our earth costumes. I believe that we're souls and that we're having a human experience. So my costume happens to be very fair skinned, blue eyes. You have your gorgeous look that you have, right? And for you, growing up in the entertainment industry, you know, having your uncle as Bob Marley and kind of deciding to head out of LA for character and family values to raise your family, I feel like your perspective is so unique. And I believe everyone has a voice. Like right now, if we could have, hey, let's call Jada. Hey, let's call Chris. Hey, let's call Will. I would like to. My soul is all about healing. And I feel like I call things the pulse of consciousness. I mean, what are the chances that right now, as a humanity, we're rolling out of the pandemic in America? I know it's raring some other places, but in the United States, we're rolling out of that. then we're having so much, I'm sending so much love and compassion to the Ukrainians. I've done some shows on that and what's going on with Russia. And then we're at this Oscar event where the world's just trying to have fun and actually celebrate creativity, celebrate entertainment, celebrate diversity, celebrate love. And for this to happen, it's almost like it's the pulse of consciousness. It's like humanity is on the fringe. And I have, you know, so I feel like it's interesting that this level of a violent act happened on national, international television at this time in history. I am, my jaw is to the floor with that.
Well, it's on the fringe, and I hate to say that what we saw out of them was some of the worst of humanity, right? Because, you know, I'm a spiritual person, and the Bible says pride is before fall. And Will and Jada have been running their mouth on Red Table Talk, which to me is the worst thing going. It's the worst show ever. That the amount of dysfunction that is being propagated on this show, where they truly are letting out every inner detail of every family member's life. There's not a member of the, I'm surprised they haven't brought the dog on there and talked about when it was when it was castrated. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's not a person in the family who they haven't paraded on there to expose their innermost demons in life, from their sexuality to relationship to it blows me away, because these people are the biggest stars in Hollywood. They don't need to do this. They don't need the extra money. They don't need, you know, Jay, to go do a home makeover show. Go give back to homeless people,
you know, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but no, I'm actually not. She could use this instance of what just happened with this comment to raise even more awareness about the alopecia, right? You have choices, Charles. When we have certain gifts that God gives us, we have to make choices. And so I feel a lot of compassion too about all the people that were there that worked so hard to get all the awards, all that time, all that effort. And then now all's we're hearing about. In fact, the main reason why I'm choosing to do this with you, I just want to elevate you and my reason for doing this show is because I respect what you're doing in media. I respect that you want to inspire people to make healthy choices. You're using your health challenge, the diabetes, to inform, elevate, educate, entertain, have fun. And your mom, I want to shift. We can go back to the whole situation we're talking about in a minute, but I feel like it's really healthy. I think humanity, we need to remember when we are watching the news or looking at our social media feed, we can get sucked into being voyeurs. And for me personally, I'm like, okay, I saw enough of those two. I want to look at the CODA stars. I want to hear about what Charles is doing with his, you know, new documentary. I want to focus in and dive deeper on how much we need to change media in general. The human condition is all into this, like the grotesqueness of suffering and materialism. And we are on planet Earth. There's nothing wrong with making money, but then it's like, if you're the beacon, if you're like, maybe we can elevate this to Denzel Washington or, you know, Sydney. I mean, I think the sad thing for me, I'm very fair skinned, but I also felt really sad if I were a person of color, of any color. Like, we've come so far. Hopefully we're going to keep getting farther and farther, but I don't know. Can you weigh in on the climate of what that did for other people in the industry that, you know, there's bad, you know what I'm trying to get at. Maybe you can just speak now and help me out here.
Well, you know, I look at it as far as other parts of the world, because, you know, I think the uncensored version came from Asia. I think it was Japan. And that was the first actual clip, because, you know, I think the American one kind of bleeped it out. And so So if people in other parts of the world were able to see all the curse words, they were already have stereotypes of what black people are.
Right.
And now this, you know, they, I mean, in Japan, boy, they got all, I mean, you know, here you see in Ukraine, I read the other day that they haven't seen black people, so that they use the N word, and what they see on TV, I'm sure isn't a good stereotype of what we are. So here are people around the world, in different parts of the world, who already have a stereotype of black people, now sees one black man slap another black man on one of the biggest stages in the world. I mean, what can they think about us in so many words? I mean,
correct. That was my. I just want you to know that's the other angle that I looked at it from, because I have friends of all backgrounds, and I know that I interviewed Jaguar French on this Creative Mind series, and he did an entire album, and he's an independent record producer. His album Good Karma, he decided to go deeper in his own healing. He'd be a great person for you to meet. Deeper in his own healing after changing his life around, coming out of prison, and doing an album without any profanity, and doing yoga, and like really looking at his life. And you know, his story is amazing. I'll put a link into that to the show for people to listen to. And so, you know, people are, no matter what background you are, gender, sexuality, or race, we're all here to be good role models. And so the other thing, I feel like I actually do still have compassion that if someone's at the top of their game and they're about to win an award, whatever was going on in that inner mind or inner world of Will Smith, I hope he's going to get some professional help and guidance spiritually in whatever way he needs to, so that, because this needs to be elevated. I feel like this could be something that could really help humanity to see. I mean, that's what they should spend the money on that red table talk. They should do something that's a healing version of saying you're sorry. And you know what I mean? I feel like there should be that instead of all this like making fun of it.
I'm not sure that they understand that they need it. I think, you know,
that's a good point.
And I think, you know,
I feel like ringing a bell, like a gong, gong. If you have no self-awareness, how can you change?
No. And in their mind, they have plenty of self-awareness. But this person that they get is going to be some, I hate to say it, weirdo doctor that's into what they're into, this, you know, feng shui, Scientology-ish type of thing. And they're going to go to somebody who they're going to be talking that same gibberish of, yeah, I was able to grab the peace and find my inner this. And then they're not going to get, they're going to get some Hollywood person that's going to cater to them. And they're going to think that they've conquered the world. Right now, I think they need a dose of reality. They need to leave Hollywood. They need to maybe go lay on some island somewhere and look themselves in the face. They need to be around a couple of people. Like, he, you know, Will's got some ghetto cousins, ghetto sisters out in Philly. He needs to go be around some of them and get back to being a real person. And Jada needs to get off of this madness of giving counsel to people when she doesn't have herself together at all. At all. They're lost. And I don't think they're going to find the counseling that they're seeking, because they're going to find some, you know, they're going to pay big money to some rich person who is going to, you know, say all this, like I said, weirdo, freaky science, half Scientologist stuff to them. I hate to be real. I hope they do find something, but that really, you know, who we should be talking about is Chris Rock, not oh,
let's,
them.
Let's do it. Let's, you know, do what I call a mindful pivot. And by the way, with humor, Charles, tell us what you're really thinking. Okay. I'm going to put in the hashtags, uncut version of Charles Maddox thoughts, everyone. Exactly. Look out, babies. Exactly. Okay. So before this is very important. We are making a mindful awareness shift, change of subject, but with authenticity. So before we move to elevating the discussion on Chris Rock, and maybe even how we would hope the Academy could handle this and just break it down Did you want to say anything else about that? Because I want to make sure you have your voice and your feelings on this.
Last, and I hate to say it, I think that he won the Academy Award. Let him have that. I do think that there should be some charges pressed. I do believe that. And I say that not to be vindictive or anything like that, because if that was anyone else, if that was someone from the audience who is not a celebrity and went up there and slapped Meryl Streep, right? They would have tackled that person down and that person would be facing 5 to 10. Will should be held accountable for what he did. And just like I read today, Chris Rock doesn't need to do anything because it would be Will Smith against the state of California. Right. So he doesn't have to press any charges, but Will needs some accountability. He maybe to be honest, that is the wake up call that he needs. If he walks his behind down into a police station, has to get fingerprinted and handcuffed and has to deal with that. Maybe that will wake Will up and say, you know what, Jada, be done with this silly table talk foolishness, be done with the entanglements, be done with these side relationships, be done with having August Asina fall in love with you and you in love with him, and August talking about this is the most amazing love that he's ever had while she's with while she's married to a man, and enough of exposing your children to all this madness, and your mother to all this madness. Go and chill out, man, and keep your private life private and stop being in everything that's moving. Maybe this is the wake-up call that he needs. And for Chris Rock, man.
So are we closing the browser window on?
Closing the browser on that.
Okay, but how I want to close it is, I want to say something before we have that elevated discussion about Chris Rock.
Yes, ma'am.
In this moment in time, someone's publicist reached out to me about this love fraud and Rocking a Betrayal, which I'm doing a series on that. And I'm doing a lot on like sociopaths and accountability. And so you don't have to be a full-blown sociopath to make a mistake like this, but you could have tendencies where you lack awareness. There's narcissism. There's perception mismatch, there's egos not in check. And some terms I've been talking about on all my different shows are in integrity or in ego. And so to me, that moment was a big in ego moment for Will Smith. And Chris Rock is in integrity. And I think that if we just have these simple things, kind of like when we're little kids and we're taught stop, drop, and roll, right? We just have some parameters. And then accountability. You brought up accountability. So I'm hearing a couple of things. One, you would like to see a more elevated talk show that's full of wellness, like you're doing. Okay, so I just want you to know, shout out to Charles Maddox, everyone. The reason why he's here on the show, and I feel like he's a credible person, is so many reasons. We don't even have to say it, because of who you are, what you've done, the media you're doing, and also I know that when you were doing the Real Men Talk Live, you know, that's on the Your Health Network now, you are always vulnerable and trying to do better. I've seen you, you know what I'm saying? So like, I feel like you walk the walk, right? So you're doing media that's positive. So before we go on to Chris Rock, what I'm hearing is you would prefer a different type of talk show, more talk shows that are more inspiring, right? And not about dysfunction.
Yeah.
And you would like more accountability. And I think the whole world, I don't care if you're in entertainment, you're an athlete, you're a business executive, you're a teacher. You know, we need more accountability when behavior is wrong. Good behavior versus bad. So I think that's another thing that was sad for the world, because there's been so much. We have so much suffering with the humanity. I feel like we're always feeling like the good guys, we want the good guys or the light energy to win more and not bad behavior to be rewarded. So now we can talk about Chris Rock, because Chris, like, let's go. What do you want to, let's talk about him. Let's go for it.
I would just like to say, I met Chris many years back in New York. Obviously, you know, we're all from New York. And like I said, my heart breaks for him. because his children were watching, his ex-wife was watching, God knows what other family members were watching. Like D.L. Hughley said, the punishment didn't fit the crime. From what I understand, he didn't know that she had a hair condition.
By the way, I think she had James Cool. So, I'm actually missing the boat because I think Demi Moore rocks. I would have been like, yeah, exactly. I'm G.I. Jane. Like, to me, and Jada looks, if anyone can wear that look, she looks stunning. That woman, not many women can pull that off.
And she's been wearing it. And she even said that she loves being bald. And I think at times, you know, we shouldn't take ourselves that serious and we should laugh at ourselves, no matter what you have. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think that, like I said, my heart breaks for Chris because he's come so far, and this is a tarnish on his legacy in many ways. Not in a way that makes you say, well, he deserved it, but just it's a sad moment to see someone like that being disgraced by someone else who needs to work on himself. So kudos to Chris.
So big can up. Chris, yeah, but can we also then say, wait, Chris, thank you, Chris Rock. Let's talk about Jim Carrey. What the article I sent you this morning, which I'll put in the show notes, Jim Carrey sickened by the Oscar standing ovation for Will Smith. I mean, what is going on with that? And then he actually out loud said, Jim Carrey said, Hollywood is spineless.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, once again, if you look at Harvey Weinstein, I mean, Harvey was carrying on like this for a long time, and everybody was still loving to make Harvey Weinstein movies. And I'm sure if you were in the business, you knew what Harvey was doing, some form of fashion, right? You had to have heard of it. You had to have seen it at a party. You had to have been around those things. You know, I used to be around Russell Simmons, you know, and saw on a few occasions Russell acting in a way that made me say, ooh, this old man here is just these young little models. So it wasn't something that I'm sure nobody knew of, and it was in the dark. So I think that, you know, and there are many cases like that. And once again, I think while, like you said earlier, they were there to celebrate themselves, right? And when you have people who are celebrating themselves, you have vanity, you have an air of arrogance, you have an air of superiority. And I think that in that joke, that it challenged all of those airs that put someone in a place where they have lost who they really are. And I think there are a lot of people in that situation at times in Hollywood who have lost what they are. And because if you don't have a real purpose, then being a star is everything to you. You know, I mean, I Denise, I love to sail. I love to travel to different parts of the world. I love to lay on beaches. I don't know what.
You don't. You do not like going to Costa Rica. No, you are a lover. You have the spirit of travel, the spirit of being free. When I see, this is separate from the media, the documentaries and the shows you've done, but on a personal level, because I do see your personal IG, I can feel your sense of like connected to your higher power when you're in nature and when you're traveling.
Yeah. Yeah. Will needs to find a hobby. He really does. He needs to go buy himself a nice boat and go learn how to sail. Or he needs to do something other than sit around the house as Jada makes red table talks and he pops in on a regular basis to make cameos and cry. And I think with that, maybe find some other purpose. Maybe find something he can touch.
So a couple things. I think Jim Carrey's article about just the fact that people, it's unbelievable groupthink. To be there in the room, like you mentioned, if Meryl Streep or anyone else, if it wasn't, I think there's some things that come into play that it was two black men, and the level of status and success of Will. And the Academy is now alleging that they asked him to leave, but he just wouldn't. So yeah. I want to go back to not, it's more like, so we had the Academy officials act in a different way than they would have if it was just anyone else going up there, correct? They would have been arrested, probably taken, they probably would have shut that scene down and someone might have walked out of there, right? So that didn't happen. And then there's a standing ovation. I mean, if I were in the room, I mean, that's traumatic to see people get hit. And then how are people doing a standing ovation? Is it because they had compassion? Because they felt, I wasn't there. So I don't know if Will came across sincere. I have no idea why that happened. It's such a juxtaposition.
I think it was a sheep. They were following other people. I think some of those who may have even stood and clapped didn't really understand and didn't really digest. And I'm sure if there were 100 people who clapped and gave a standing ovation, I guarantee you at least half of them are thinking very differently now, just because they got a chance to process. I think it happened so fast.
Yes.
That didn't really get a chance to process.
Well, I also think maybe people thought it was part of an act.
I think so initially.
I mean, I wasn't there, but I mean, if you were, if anyone were to predict that Will Smith was going to slap Chris Rock on stage after making a joke, you would think it's staged. Because it's like so unbelievable. So I just want to like validate what you're saying. So people are in shock. And now the Academy, like you already said, you weighed in that you think that he should keep the award, but that they have to do something. There needs to be accountability. And then I want to, before we wrap up this talk about you weighing in on the Hollywood climate, specifically the Oscar situation, I feel I have a lot of compassion for comedians right now, because a lot of comedians, maybe you can sort of say your perspective, are feeling like, what is going to happen to me now? Is this officially giving people in the crowd, if they get that upset, permission to come and slap me? I mean, I think, have you read a lot of the different responses and a lot of people rallying around Chris?
Well, you remember comedians are taking the heat right now because they have said things about the LBG community. Mm-hmm. They about trans people, they've been taking some heat and remember they've cooled off in a big way as far as comedians have, then COVID kept a lot of comedians from not doing stand up and things like that. So it's a tough time.
Well, so I just want to let you know, I held back a little bit tonight, and maybe I'm going to unleash a little bit because I am an adult and child integrative psychiatrist. And I think I haven't been watching the show, the Red Table. What's it called? Red
Table Talk.
Yeah. Red Table Talk. I can tell you, I'm a doctor and I'm also producing shows. And so that bridge I need to weigh in on that. What you're talking about is some of the polyamory and how that's just been normalized in society. And I do have people I know that do polyamory. I've never done that. I've always been monogamous, and that's just my choice. So I think one of the things that's happened with the whole LGBTQ movement and the different pronouns, he's, she's, they's, is that I haven't watched the show, so I can't comment on the show. But what I surmised is, there's a level, my intuition is, I haven't interviewed either Will or Jada, but it'd be interesting to see how at peace they really are with their polyamory. And I think we've got the, are they at peace? And that's their own personal decision between them and their family, but they've made it public. And I do know people who have all different types of relationships. And I've interviewed someone from the LGBTQ therapy space, and I have people I know that have successfully done unique, they have different sexualities and they have polyamory or this, but this isn't even about Jada and Will now. It's like when are we too in the public eye, and are we being good role models? So, and there's a shade of gray on that. I mean, you don't have an answer. So I was kind of wondering, number one, was Will under the influence? It'd be interesting to have like a substance test to see what's going on with his impulse control. By the way, this would be for anyone. So this is just me as a doctor breaking this down. I'm just going to take it away from Jada and Will. Let's just talk about man at Oscars hits other man, right? Exactly. Or woman. So as a doctor, I wonder, number one, what's going on with their mental health? In that moment, how did they go into the Oscars? Were they using substances? Do they have a mental health condition? Do they have anger issues? So that in itself needs to be assessed. Number two, I didn't see it on the film, but someone said that Will was initially laughing and then Jada gave him a look and then all of a sudden he responded. I don't know if that's true or not true. Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. I did. They were both actually laughing. And that's the interesting part. It literally is like he turned at the drop of a hat and flipped out. And there was another video from a different angle where actually Jada's laughing after Chris was hit, and even during the tirade. And you know, so their behavior is just sickening, to be honest with you.
And no, I agree. So I, as a doctor and a host and producer, say they need some professional help. I think the whole world would agree to that. And I also think that the Academy needs to really do their due diligence. They need to handle this with integrity, because Hollywood, even the name Hollywood is like a joke now. Mm-hmm. Hollywood, my dear friend, Beverly Bergman, is one of my closest friends. She's 78 going on 50. And her beloved Ted, who's in heaven, because I believe in, you know, all different energies and souls, Ted Bergman, you know, there's a time, and I'm not saying, I don't want to glorify, because there's things that went on in the 60s and 50s and 70s that are similar to what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But that I want to just elevate this with you and I right now. The concept of reverence. I believe in reverent relationships, sacredness, old school. What if Will, in his speech, said, Chris, can you come up here? I need to apologize to you, and use part of his acceptance to do that, right? So I just, taking it away from them, I think for our children, my son had a situation on the playground when he was 10, and he could have really taken this kid down. This kid pushed my son. This kid had poor impulse control. The kid didn't feel like he was being led in the group. My son at the time was doing martial arts. I'm surprised he didn't hit him, to be honest with you. I think I might have hit someone if they pushed me. I was like, whoa. He's like, Mom, but I made a choice. I didn't want to get expelled. I didn't think the teachers would believe me. And the martial arts I'm doing, Kung Fu, helped me. And so my own son had better self-control when he actually got pushed. I mean, no, Chris and my son did the same. But I was just explaining to our children, you know, you need to also use examples like this. Did your children see it, or did they talk with you about it?
No, I don't think they saw it.
Okay. No. Do they know about it?
I don't think, I mean, I'm sure they know about it. I think the whole world knows about it, but I don't think they care, you know?
So I'll put a link into it, but I just think too, I'm as a mother and adult and child psychiatrist, I think when any type of behavior goes on, whether it's the Oscars, whether it's a war, whether it's politics, anything where there's violence and there could have been a different behavior, then I think it's time we pause with our children and then use as an experience of what not to do.
True, true, true.
So is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up? Because I feel like I want to have you back on pretty quickly and not talk about this, because you're doing so many amazing things. And you have so many layers of what you're unpacking in the world right now. And it's like an honor for me to know you, but I want to make sure we addressed everything about this topic, about the Hollywood climate and anything else you wanted to say tonight.
No, you know, I'm just proud of you and what you're doing with this series here and all the amazing moves and energy that you keep putting out there. And, you know, once again, I think, I was passionate about tonight's topic, and I'm private, but only because of Chris Rock, and knowing that he is one of the good guys. And for anybody listening to this, if you're listening to this, Go watch a Chris Rock interview where he's talking about family and some of the things that he's gone through. Go listen to him talk about that he has a form of autism, and see a guy who is a really, really nice person whose job it was to get up there and make jokes at the expense of people. And like somebody said today, if you're sitting at the Oscars and you're a female in the front row with a bald head, you could almost expect somebody's going to make a joke, right? And David Spade said, you know, we don't know everybody's medical records here in the audience. So when making a joke, of course, and once again, the G.I. Jane thing, it really wasn't that the punishment didn't fit the crime. So I hope I.
Actually, what I want to say that you're doing is you're standing up to the concept and the idea of bully energy.
Yeah.
And you're saying this is not okay.
Yeah.
This is not okay. I'm going to say it one more time. This is not okay. And you came and you let loose on how you're really feeling because you wanted to defend Chris Rock and you would want someone to do this for you.
Yeah.
So that is what we want to make sure it's clear. This is very clear of standing up for what's right and good behavior and being in integrity. So Charles, thank you. I'm going to have you on soon because you've got so much that's going on that's fantastic. And I'm excited about all the possibilities of us doing work together. And I also want to thank you for trusting me to do this interview. And if that's a thing I like about producing my own content is, you know, what if you say to me in a month, Denise, take that down? I would. Does that make sense? I'm not saying you're going to say that, but that's kind of the beauty of being the master of your own media content. You have these choices to work with good people. And so I don't take this lightly that you were willing to do this interview with me. I really, really want to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you for having me, young lady.
Great. So can you tell everyone where they can find you and maybe just tell us what's the next that you told us at the beginning, but tell us again about your current projects and where everyone can find you.
Yeah, I'm currently working on Our Bodies at Temple, a series based on the health in the Black community and Latin community and also in the churches. I've got a show airing right now on Cox Nationwide called Reversed, first ever diabetes reality docuseries. I got a couple other really good projects that we're working on a mental health series. We're working on a series based on a Black cult, a young Black cult currently active. A few other things. But you could follow me at charlesmattocks.com, MATTOCKS.com. My website, Bella, BELLANANDLE. ELLEmedia.com. And you just Google me. I mean, I'm not hard to find, you know?
Oh, thank you, Charles. Thanks for tonight. And thanks, everyone.
Blessings.